Just as Jesus faced temptation right after his baptism, so the moment that you and I are brought into God's kingdom, the devil starts his attack, and you become a target. Even probably after those words of the triune God are spoken and his name is proclaimed and placed on you, the devil has already labeled you as his target. And he looks for an opportune time. He looks for times when you are weary and weak. He looks for times when you are alone and discouraged, and he takes his attack. We face our adversary. How are we to stand?
The following is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona, reaching out with rock solid hope in womb country. February 18th, 2018. Taken from Mark chapter 1, verses 12 to 15.
I'm sure you've seen it in the movies before. It's quite common where the movie plays out to right at the end, the hero needs to face the villain. It almost has become something that's predictable, and you expect it at the end of every action-adventure movie where you can tell that the writer and the director are just leading up to that scene where the hero must face the enemy. Sometimes it's even so dramatic the hero has to do it alone. He says, "He's mine." And he goes after them. And then the movie is drawn on by another 10 minutes of fist fighting or a shootout. And the hero wins the day. We've come to expect that, I think, at the end of pretty much every action movie. But real life doesn't quite play out like that, does it? Nobody wants to face their enemies alone. And it's usually the lone man that never wins the day. Well, what about our greatest enemy? We face our adversary. His name, Satan, means adversary, and he is our greatest enemy. He is the prince of this world who seeks to destroy and devour God's people and drag them away from the love of God. How are we to stand against this powerful force? But what we see is we can't face him alone. Jesus faces our enemy for us. It's at the start of Mark's gospel that we see Jesus doing just this. Mark's gospel, even in the first chapter, introduces to us our hero, Jesus. Jesus is baptized right from the bat, and he's shown to be the Christ as he's anointed by the Holy Spirit. He's God's chosen. And there we see, as Mark begins his gospel, the Father proclaiming, "This is my Son. With him, I'm very pleased." How would Jesus continue now as he sets off on his ministry? Would the Father continue to be pleased with him? Immediately after his baptism, you can picture perhaps the water still dripping, Jesus is sent out by the Spirit into the wilderness. Jesus is going to face the enemy. And as he faces this struggle, he must face it alone. That's why he was driven out into the wilderness. And this struggle, this time of testing that Jesus would face, would be a time where he is 40 days out there in the wilderness. And he's so alone that Mark can only describe it saying the wild animals were with him. There were no companions to strengthen or encourage him. Jesus had to face this one alone. And as Jesus faced it, Matthew and Luke record he was fasting. And so Jesus would have been hungry. Yes, he's the Son of God, but according to his human nature, if ever there was a time where Jesus was feeling weak and exhausted and weary, this was it. And if ever there a time there was when Jesus, who often said to his disciples, "Stay with me," was feeling alone, according to his human nature, this was it. Except we see he's not alone. Only the companion that he has, the sole companion, the company that is keeping with him, is not a company that you desire, at least those that know him desire to have. It's Satan. And it says that Satan is tempting him. Matthew and Luke record three of those temptations, but really, Mark says that he was being tempted. That is, throughout the duration of these 40 days, Jesus, exhausted and weary, alone, is facing the temptations of the adversary, the devil. And the devil, like a lion, looking for someone to devour, looks for opportune time. Sure, the Son of God was no easy target. But remember, this is the Son of God in human flesh, in one of his weakest times alone. And so the devil takes his opportunity to strike. Jesus, according to his human flesh, was weary and would get tired, but the devil was a tireless spiritual enemy, relentless in his attacks. And Jesus could not draw on any help. The devil knew now is the time where I can show that I can conquer him. And so Jesus, alone in the wilderness, faces the onslaught. See, the devil, he recognizes if he can get Jesus to turn aside from the truth, he has won the day. That's how the devil operates, you see. The book of Revelation describes his situation. He is a fallen angel. Jesus says he saw him cast out from heaven. And Revelation says that the devil has been cast down to earth and he is filled with fury. It says, woe to the earth and the sea, because he's filled with fury, for he knows his time is short. And he will take every opportunity he has to separate people from God, to destroy the work of God and undo what God has done. And he will come after you. See, first of all, the devil really doesn't have to work very hard with the people of this world. He is called the prince of this world. Sadly, the people of this world don't stand a chance against this adversary. The devil won when he dragged them, and he dragged Adam and Eve away from God into sin. And the people of this world are born slaves to sin, and therefore also slaves to the devil and his temptation, lost in hopelessness and despair. And even when God's word comes to bring that ray of hope, the devil snatches away that seed. And Satan, it says, blinds the minds and the eyes of the people of this world so they cannot see the light of the gospel. See, the devil has already won when it comes to those who do not know God or trust in God. They're as good as lost and will remain lost so long as he can keep them blind to the gospel, blind to seeing their Savior and their hero. That makes us his primary target. Just as Jesus faced temptation right after his baptism, so the moment that you and I are brought into God's kingdom, the devil starts his attack, and you become a target. Even probably after those words of the triune God are spoken and his name is proclaimed and placed on you, the devil has already labeled you as his target. And he looks for an opportune time. He looks for times when you are weary and weak. He looks for times when you are alone and discouraged, and he takes his attack. So how have you fared? Even for just 40 seconds, nonetheless 40 days of the onslaught of his temptation. Or how about 40 or 80 years? How do you hold up? His goal is to tear you away from the love of God, to bring you into despair of sin, and to bring you into such discouragement that you look and say, I don't deserve my God's love. His goal is to make you maybe perhaps unaware of sin or not caring about sin. He is crafty and cunning, and he has succeeded in pulling many people away from their God. You might say, well, I'm very blessed. I think I can withstand his temptation. But look what the devil did with men like, as we read earlier this week, David. At the height of his prosperity, he was able to take David down to such depths of despair and sin. Or maybe look at the disciples of Jesus. Jesus' own 12, who said, Jesus will never desert you. How Satan's cunning was able to get them on that night when Jesus encountered the army, the soldiers with the clubs and the torches. How Satan was able to get the disciples to flee and desert him. The devil knows that he can bring people away from God's love and his word, and he seeks to do this. We cannot stand against this enemy alone. We cannot make our struggle and survive alone. In fact, when we look at the situation, the greatest front that this world can put up has fallen. See, every time that Satan has encountered a son of Adam or a daughter of Eve, he has won. Every time he has succeeded in bringing them into sin. He has never encountered a Son of Man who has stood up to his temptations. How can we? Until we see that one man, the anomaly, Jesus steps in. And the devil encounters one Son of Man who withstood his temptations. Jesus, according to his human flesh, yes, was a target. But Jesus, the Son of God, did not fail, but stood that test. For the whole duration of those 40 days, not for a moment did he give in to temptation. Not an inch did he concede. Even in his loneliness and isolation, he withstood on his own, and the devil lost. Mark records for us that angels came and attended Jesus, that is, strengthened him according to his human nature. Jesus had won the day. The devil was completely shut out, and Jesus continued to do this. The devil would try to get the crowds to kill Jesus and to stone him and shove him off a cliff, but Jesus did not give in to despair or discouragement. The devil would try to get the crowds to crown Jesus an earthly king. But once again, Jesus would not give in to turning aside from God's plan or something else. And Satan, too, would succeed in getting the disciples, men like Peter, to try to get Jesus to divert from his plan. But Jesus would continue, "Get behind me, Satan," and continued facing the cross. And yes, Jesus even encountered one of his own, a close friend like Judas, as Satan entered Judas, and even got Judas to love money more than his Lord. But Jesus continued. And the same temptation that he faced in the wilderness, which is, if you are the Son of God, then why don't you show it? He faced that on the cross, as the crowds, by Satan egging them on, said, "If you are the Son of God, come down." But not for a moment, even until his death, did Jesus give in to any temptation to step aside. And by doing so, he crushed the devil underfoot. And Satan's temptations, his scheming, was overcome. See, Jesus did all this for us. For his disciples who failed to overcome the temptations of the devil, he went to the cross. For you, he went to the cross. For this world lost under the devil, the prince of this world's cunning, Jesus came as our hero. And when he saw the devil, he said, "He's mine." And he did what we could not, and crushed our enemy underfoot. And now Jesus sits at the right hand of God and rules over all things. And the devil has lost. He's as good as done. So that when you and I wonder, and the devil brings us to despair or defeat, and we wonder, does our God love us? We know he does in Jesus. And when we feel discouraged because we have succumbed to the devil's temptations, I know how it is. He comes to me when I'm weak. You know how it is. He's conquered with his cunning the people of God and brought them into sin. But there we point to Jesus, who did not fail. How does Jesus' victory become ours? Mark records exactly what Jesus does immediately after this. It says, "He then began to preach, 'Repent and believe the good news.' Through faith in Jesus, we are more than conquerors. The good news is that our God has faced our enemy for us, and he has won. And our God lives and reigns, and we will too." No, we can't face our enemy alone. There will be times of discouragement and despair. There will be times when you feel that the devil has won the day, and you have denied or turned aside from the will of your God. But you are still on your God's side, because he fought on your side. And through faith in Jesus, you have conquered your enemy. And Jesus brings you the victory. And when you see somebody of this world whose eyes are blinded by the devil, and they don't see the plight that they're in, what Jesus does, you do. You proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God, that the Son of God has conquered the enemy. And when you yourself begin to despair and wonder, "Does my God love me?" You're reminded of what Paul says earlier. He says, "Neither heights nor depths nor angels nor demons, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is ours in Christ Jesus, our Lord, our conqueror." So we know how the movie ends, don't we? That scene has been played out. Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished." The devil has been crushed. The prince of this world is not my prince, and he's not yours, but Jesus, my Savior, my King, my conqueror. Amen.